now have our first reading, which is taken from Exodus 14, verse 21 to 32. Thank you.
Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, we'll now have our second reading, which is taken from Isaiah 43. It's only a little. Thank you.
When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you.
And our final reading, which is taken from Luke 3, verse 15 to 22. Thank you.
Everybody was expecting the Messiah to come soon, as they were eager to know whether John might be the Messiah. John answered their question by saying, "I baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater than I am, not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. He will clean up the threshing area, gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with never-ending fire." John used many such warnings as he announced the good news to the people. John also publicly criticized Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee, for marrying Herodias, his brother's wife, and for many other wrongs he had done. So Herod put John in prison, adding this sin to many others. One day, when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." Amen.
Thank you. So we've heard the reading taken from Luke's Gospel, reference to Jesus' baptism. Now, we're all familiar with that story, but probably not the impact that it's had on everyone's lives. All of us here, as believers, have experienced, we've had a brief testimony. And the truth is, Jesus was only a young person, really, just embarking on his ministry. And you can imagine, as the people were expecting the Messiah, John has appeared and he's baptizing. So it was natural, I suppose, that people would assume that John was the Messiah. John was quite correct in saying, "No, it's not me, but someone greater than me is coming. Someone who I'm not worthy to untie the straps of his sandals." John the Baptist puts Jesus on the pedestal. He humbles himself almost and gives all praise and thanks to Jesus. And that, having read the passage and preached on it a million times, it feels like, was one of the most inspiring parts of the story for me. Other people will have different views, granted. When Jesus is finally baptized, he prays. And then the Holy Spirit descends on him in the form of a dove. How we would wish for those moments. Every time we pray, a dove, the Spirit awakens something in us. Now for me, I can only think of Jesus being a young man and taking that powerful step and to hear the words of his Father, "You are my son, whom I love." Not verbatim. To have that praise from your own Father and the recognition for everybody around him, he is truly the Son of God. Absolutely wonderful. What can we take away from those few words, those few powerful words? There is so much. The water, a central feature as well. The power is in the water. Because as that descent, with the descent of the Holy Spirit, it actually purified the water for everybody else that was going to be baptized that day. And it demonstrates the transformative power of water and how it provides that spiritual renewal that many of us craved at certain points in our lives. Our next reading, taken from Exodus. Now, you may wonder where Exodus, the Ten Commandments that was on recently. Obviously, I'm obsessed with that. I need to share that. I questioned last night, why have you chosen that particular reading? The reason being, because of the water. Not only that, this is another way in which water is used in the Bible. The Israelites were freed. Pharaoh said, "Go on. That's it. Go on your way." Halfway through, he decides he changed his mind. Great. So in hot pursuit of the Israelites that are way on their way, they approach the Red Sea. And I'm cutting all of the stuff out. They approach the Red Sea. They've got to cross it. How are they going to cross it? The Egyptians are in hot pursuit. Moses raises his staff. The waters move sideways and create a pathway for them to go through. God was in control. The Israelites are able to cross to their freedom, the promised land. And with the Egyptians still behind them, God causes the water to come down kill. Kill all of the Egyptians. Now again, a reason to pause. God was in control. God, knowing his people, had to see them to safety. They'd been oppressed for many, many, many years, and now they were free. God has ultimate power and control over water. Not only to protect, but also to liberate a people. Our final reading, taken from Isaiah. Few words, but mighty. Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burnt up. This is a promise from God. A promise that is so perfect for anybody embarking on a journey of faith, anybody considering baptism. God's presence is in everything that we do at any time. God offers us the protection that sometimes we need. When we face challenges in life, and I'm sure many of us are at an age where we think, when is it going to end? I've given myself to you. And day in, day out, if it's not my children, it's my grandchildren. It's not my mum and my dad, it's people around me. One thing is for sure. When I embarked on my faith journey, I woke up one morning. Some of you may have heard this story. I woke up one morning singing, Gaudete, Christus is natus, ex Maria Virgine, Gaudete. A, I have never spoken a word of Latin in my life. B, what do the words even mean? And I remember going to a strawberry tea party a few days later, speaking to a trusted friend, man of faith, and shared this with him. And he said to me, "Do you know what, Jan? I think you need to speak to your minister." I'm surprised he didn't say a psychiatrist. Only from the point of view that where did it come from? Now, the point I'm demonstrating here is, once I read through the lyrics, which I think is from Isaiah, I thought to myself, I should have written them down, and forgive me for that. Wasn't the gates of Ezekiel are closed, whence for something or other? Anybody speak Latin and know that hymn? I'd love you to come up and tell me. Anywho, the long and short is, I was told to read through the lyrics to see what stood out. I'm now about so many years later, and I saw it. That which we have prayed for. Sing praises to God. Yada, yada, yada. Anywho, it'll come back to me. With that, my world turned 360 degrees round, and before I knew it, I was being confirmed into the Methodist Church. Now, one thing with me, I always knew that there was a spiritual side to me. I used to dream all the time. And you know when you get these little feelings that something is about to happen. I continuously had those feelings. I remember attending the first service after our confirmation, and we were asked to reflect on the Holy Spirit. What do you think the Holy Spirit looks like? And I'm thinking, I don't know, a dove, water, don't know. Anyway, because I'm able to draw, sketch, I sat, took my little notebook out, and drew what had appeared in my closed eyes. And it was actually a figure, don't know if it was male or female, but it was as if wires were being forced together. Didn't come straight away. Wires are being forced together, created this figure, and it was just simply gliding through the air. That I have kept to this day as a memory of my Holy Spirit. Now, when we talk about the power of water, there are plenty of examples I can use. I've given you a snapshot of myself. I'm going to ask my sister, who's probably quaking as we speak, I'm going to ask my sister to give us all a very brief account of her own testimony, which is powerful. And if I may say, when I made the decision to be confirmed in the Methodist Church, Sandra can take you from there, a very, very powerful story.
Good morning, everybody. Excuse the hat, I'm just getting over a cold. To start, I was away on holiday abroad, and the day before I flew back, I started to get double vision in my left eye. And obviously flew back to England, and a friend of mine is the manager of Vision Express, so I thought, I'll go and see him. Get it checked out, and once I'd had the eye examination, he said to me, I don't like what I'm seeing, I need you to go to the local hospital ASAP. And I was at work at the time, so I had to sort of get all the staff organised and everything, and then went to the local hospital. Once I got there, I had a further examination, had a CT scan, had blood tests. And literally they rushed it through and told me I had a brain tumour. Again, still like, you know, what's going on? Because they'd taken bloods, I was still waiting for the results of those. But within an hour, I had a consultant and a specialist nurse, and they put me in a side room, come to me and say, you've got leukaemia. So, you know, I was just like, well, me being me, always been a glasses half full kind of girl. If there's a problem, I'm very much, don't worry, we'll get it sorted. So when they told me, I said, okay, so what are we going to do about it? And they were like, Sandra, did you hear what we said? And I said, absolutely. So I want to know, in layman's terms, what we're going to do. When the treatment's going to start, how long it's going to take, what medications, all of that. Anyway, got through the first, I'm cutting a very long story short here, got through first bout of leukaemia, went back to work, everything's fine. 3 years later, comes back again, even more intense. Again, went through, I was extremely poorly with that. My consultants didn't think they'd make it, I'd make it at all. But my faith kept me going. Earlier, Jan spoke about her being confirmed. I was actually in hospital at the time, again, very poorly, just come out of ICU. And Jan came to visit me, and she said to me, "I think I'm going to get confirmed." Now, that very day, you may not believe this, but this is exactly how it happened. I was in my room on my own, just thinking, and you know what hospital rooms are like, cream walls, blank walls, nothing on them. And I got a vision, never had a vision before in my life, but I had a vision and I could see all these different faiths. And then right at the top, just a big bright light, but I was smiling. Just like, I just thought, what a beautiful image. And at that point, I'd made the decision myself to get confirmed. Unbeknownst to us is when Jan got home, both of my parents and Janet's eldest daughter, that same day, decided to get confirmed. I sort of drifted off slightly there. So going back to, I got over the second bout of leukemia. Just when I was recovering from that, I wasn't feeling great and was admitted to hospital again. I should have my own wing by then. but I had a test on my kidney because I wasn't going to the toilet as I should, and found out I was already at stage 5 chronic renal failure. Again, spent an awful lot of time in hospital. And with one of the bouts there, my consultants didn't think I'd make it at all. I was in ICU for 3 months, just really, really poorly. Family had been called to the hospital to say goodbyes. And I don't know. Well, I do know what it was. I never, ever thought I was ever going to die. I thought, I'm going to get through this. I've got so many things to do. got through it. My faith, very, very strong. Particularly since I got confirmed, I just thought, you know, I'm not invincible here, but whatever is thrown at me, I'm going to deal with. I'm not going to be, why me? I'm not going to be, oh, you know, this is the end. This is the end for me. Never ever thought that, because I knew my God would get me through it. After that, get my full medical history here, everybody. This is over a period of 17 years, by the way. Had a leaky heart, aortic valve. Was extremely poorly with that. When I went into hospital to have it mended, because I was on dialysis, they put a line in my right jugular so I could still dialyze. They put a line in my left jugular for anesthetic. They went straight through it, bled out into my chest, had a heart attack on the table and died. Luckily, they were able to revive me. They were going to leave me. My consultant fought for me because the team they brought in to sort of stem the bleeding, they were in, you know, she's too weak. There's no way she's going to get through this operation. But my consultant, again, he was a man of faith. He said, I told this young lady, and I was really proud of that because I was only 59 at the time. So I was really proud he called me young lady. Said, I promised this young lady that I would get her through this operation, and that's what I'm going to do. And obviously I'm standing here today. It doesn't stop there. I thought it was the last one. Having been on dialysis for 11 years, it's tough. I was finally able to get a kidney transplant last August, and I haven't looked back since. You know, I keep saying to people, you know, I've got too much to do. You know, there's a reason why I'm still here. I currently do work for British Heart Foundation. I do work for the National Kidney Federation. I work for the volunteer for the African Caribbean Leukemia Trust. That's promoting, you know, trying to get donors to give blood and bone marrow. And what's the other one? Blood Cancer UK. I do the grant work for them, doing the grant applications. And I've had a whole spin around because I spent 30 years in retail, but I've always known deep down in my heart there was something I was great, you know, destined for, not necessarily greater, but to do more than I was doing. And I must say, my volunteer work, best jobs I've ever had in my life. I don't get paid for them apart from one, but the feeling I get giving back to, you know, people that are struggling, that don't know where to turn, thinking they're going to die. I do a lot of mentoring and a lot of counselling, and I love every single minute of it. And I've been close to not being here 4 times, and I think, right, I've got 5 times to go now, I have 9 lives. But, you know, I just wanted to share that story with you. That's where my faith has brought me and gotten the things that it's got me through. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, if you've been impacted by that story, if you've been impacted through the service, our take-home message, and this applies to me as well, we must embrace the power of water and embrace the transformative, protective, and life-giving power of the living water in our lives. For anybody considering baptism or confirmation, think about taking a dive. Do you like that? Do you see the way that linked water? Think about taking a dive towards spiritual renewal and transformation. Understand the importance of us trusting in God, and that he will deliver. I've had examples already this afternoon, when not in the afternoon, this morning, of transforming power taking place. Let's use it. And I pray a blessing over everybody here today. Anybody that is feeling sick or troubled, just ask for God's blessing over you all. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.